I'm Hillary Hendershot, your host, and this is Profit Boss Radio, episode 90. Happy New Year. Profit Boss Radio is your weekly wealth mastermind. Profit Boss is also a community and a movement for women who are ready to take control of their money, break the glass ceiling, and give ourselves permission to finally have enough. Want the secrets of wealth to be yours? This is the place. I'm Hillary Hendershot. I'm a certified financial planner running a leading advisory firm for women, and I'm sharing with you real stories from real life and real women who are making it happen. Forget Wall Street. Let's do this, ladies. Ready for a financial reboot in the new year? Feeling like you're unsure of what to do next with your money? Well, I have an exciting event coming up this January that can change everything for you. I'm hosting Profit Boss Live, a one-day in-person event focused on women building wealth. At Profit Boss Live, you'll have the chance to meet other like-minded women and really connect and talk about money in a safe space that's a totally judgment-free zone. Because let's be honest, money talk is usually cold, boring, and uncomfortable. At Profit Boss Live, we'll enjoy a warm, inviting, fun atmosphere where you can connect, share stories, laugh, and even learn together. And yes, there will be a cocktail or two. Find out more at profitbosslive.com. Listen, the last thing you need next year is more uncertainty, especially when it comes to your finances. At Profit Boss Live, you will create a customized, detailed, and actionable wealth plan custom fit to your financial goals. You'll know which steps to take to save, spend, and invest wisely so you can stop worrying about money or wasting what you've worked so hard to earn. Come meet me and your new money mastermind in San Jose on Friday, January 19th for this all-day event. Go to profitbosslive.com to get registered. That's profitbosslive.com. Don't delay, though. Early bird pricing only lasts until December 18th, so buy now to save $100 off the ticket price. That's profitbosslive.com. Today, I want to talk about something that a lot of you have been asking about, and that is Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So Bitcoin was kind of the first cryptocurrency on the scene, and now there have been quite a number of what they call initial coin offerings. So my answer to how to think about Bitcoin, it depends on what your vantage point is. So a cryptocurrency is simply a currency that isn't that's digital and that isn't managed by the federal government. Dollars are currency, euros are currency, pesos are currency. Okay, so there's nothing fancy about that. Bitcoin has been a big thing. It's also like a social movement. It contains, it sort of manifests a lot of libertarian or classical liberal ideals. People want the government out of their business, and I can understand that, but that's not relevant to your personal finances. So that's a more qualitative feature of Bitcoin. It's also a movement, right? It's a bunch of people who want to take back the power. Power has been centralized in the form of the central government and the Federal Reserve, and they don't like that. But again, that's irrelevant to your investments and your personal finance. My vantage point as an investment advisor, so I would never, ever, ever, ever recommend something like that to my clients. I would never recommend something to my clients that didn't have a 15 or 20 year track record. We just don't guess at this level, right? I'm working with people who are not interested in gambling their savings. And I'm not saying that those people don't also gamble with a portion of their money, maybe 2 to 3, or maybe up to 5% of their net worth. But I don't do that on their behalf. I'm managing investments where I know what I know probably what to expect in the coming days and years. So we sort of know the behavior patterns of the investments that I manage. From an investment, like is Bitcoin an investment? No, it isn't. It's a currency. So it's literally a store of value. It only stores value because a bunch of people agree that it does. So it doesn't have any nature of reality. It's not an actual store of value. By the way, gold isn't even actually a store of value, right? Like, we people just decided that the rock called gold is valuable. Diamonds are the same thing. There is no intrinsic value. And Bitcoin is no different. And it is a currency. So you wouldn't call buying Bitcoin investing, you would call it speculating, also known as gambling. And that does not to say that some people won't make a bunch of money. One of the things about Bitcoin that's true is that it's hard to get, it's hard to mine, and I think it's hard to liquidate. I've never actually done it. I've only read about it. But, you know, I've read things like people having their Bitcoin stolen off their computers. I've read that people bought Bitcoin on a computer that isn't powerful enough to access it again so that they can sell it or liquidate it. You have to remember that you can be a bazillionaire on paper, but if you can't liquidate that investment or that Bitcoin and get dollars for it or spend it on actual things, then you have nothing. The whole reason a big account size is impressive is because you can get things in exchange for it. So, you know, I've read all kinds of stories of people having sort of being Bitcoin millionaires or Bitcoin billionaires, but they can't get access to their Bitcoin. So that's a problem. And then there's this whole thing called the blockchain. So if you're interested in the power of the blockchain technology, the blockchain is the technology that underlies or records Bitcoin transactions. And it's how the collective knows who owns what Bitcoins and anonymously records transactions. People are very interested in this blockchain technology. So you hear people like Mark Cuban are investing in the blockchain. That doesn't mean that Mark Cuban is buying Bitcoin. I mean, he probably is, but it certainly shouldn't. The fact that Mark Cuban is investing in blockchain certainly shouldn't convince you to buy Bitcoin. It's a completely different aspect of the entire phenomenon. I will be talking about Bitcoin and more at Profit Boss Live, and I hope this has been helpful. So, welcome to the New Year's episode of Profit Boss Radio. It's late. I'm in the office by myself. It's a beautiful office, but I'm tired. And I got to thinking of you. I really have always loved New Year's Eve. It's been a little different since 2013. I got married on New Year's Eve. And so having it be my anniversary has altered its constitution a little bit. And don't get me wrong, I love having that epic anniversary. Of course I do. And New Year's Eve used to be a holiday of reflection for me. I used to tell people it was my favorite holiday. And really because I love the idea of wrapping up the past, really just meditating on it, thinking about it, in many cases, forgiving myself for it, and deciding to complete it, to set it aside, to put it in the past where it belongs, and creating something brand new in its place. And so I started doing some research about kind of how far we've come. Where are we as profit bosses? And I think this is the perfect time to really do that reflection. So that's what this episode is about. I wanted to start by taking stock. So I combed the internet for some statistics that I think are relevant to us. So let's talk about the state of the union for women and money. And as we do this, I want you to be thinking about where you are. What's the state of your union, Profit Boss? So I was wondering about how we're earning relative to men. Obviously, your earning power, your income is the fuel that drives your rocket ship. So how are we earning? According to Pew Research, women bring in more income than men in about 1/3 of households. But that means that men still bring in more income than women in about 2/3 of households. Okay, and what are our attitudes about money and gender? So 71% of adults say that it's important for a man to be able to support a family, to be a good partner or husband, but only 32% say the same about women. So what that tells me is that we've internalized this gender-based message about being a good provider for men, and that's no surprise. But honestly, 32% for women was a little bit higher than I thought it was going to be. I've never heard a woman say, I feel an obligation to provide. And that's not to say I haven't seen women providing, not in the least, but I was actually kind of impressed by that statistic. 32% of adults say that it's important for a woman to be able to support her family, to be a good partner or a good wife. 63% of adults say that it's important for a woman to be able to do household chores. And I think household chores is that thing we sort of rail against, right? Like the man who makes a huge mistake and gives his wife a vacuum for Christmas. Oh, woe be to him. And 90% of adults say it's important for a woman to be caring and compassionate. And I read that and I'm sort of conjuring up those old 1950s ads where, you know, they talk about how a woman can wear her 3-inch heels and have her hair perfectly coiffed and have dinner hot when her husband gets home while she's smoking a cigarette and drinking a whiskey. But to our credit, while 90% of adults say it's important for a woman to be caring and compassionate, 86% of adults say it's also important for men to be caring and compassionate. So kudos to all of us caring and compassionate creatures who are valuing the important things in life. And what about education and money? So how is our education impacting our money? Well, education does seem to correlate to higher income. So it looks like in about half of couples in which the husband and wife are both at least 25 years old, and the woman has more education than her partner, then she earns the same as or more than her male partner. And, you know, if you're in a same-sex relationship, look, don't feel left out. These are just the statistics that are available, okay? So I'm reading them to you and glean what you can and glean what you will from them. And what about dating and money? 42% of adults say knowing someone's credit score would affect their willingness to date that person, according to Bankrate.com. I have to be totally honest with you, that one blew me away. Now, there was a time in my dating life when I decided I was not going to date a man who didn't have a J-O-B. And that's what I said to myself at the time. But what I really meant was a C-A-R-E-E-R. And reason being is at the time I was seeing someone who had intermittent employment and I got tired of him not being able to afford things like rent. It just didn't work for me anymore. And something told me it was shallow to make a decision based on income like that. But I just was done. I couldn't deal with those problems anymore. But this credit score, right? It really surprises me because the only thing you use a credit score for, the only thing, in my opinion, a prudent financial person uses a credit score for is to buy a house. And a lot of people use it to, I mean, yeah, having a points credit card is nice, but you can get yourself into all kinds of trouble with a credit score. You can rack up auto-related debt or end up carrying debt on your credit card or sort of any number of sins. So this 42% of adults say knowing someone's credit score would affect their willingness to date that person. I can't help but think that we're using this credit score thing as some kind of false harbinger, like a moniker or something. Like, I don't know. It just seems like I can't imagine making a choice to date someone or not based on their credit score. I may be softened on this statistic because there was a time I had a 500 credit score and I don't now. So I sort of know that these things are recoverable and fairly quickly. I mean, not in a week or a month, but a year or two, right? And so imagine you've given up the opportunity to date this person who made a mistake or I don't know. And then another thing I thought of was a friend of mine from college whose father, he started dating a woman who was of a culture where, you know, her parents were a little bit protective of her at the beginning of their dating relationship. And her father insisted that he be able to see my friend's credit score and I think his bank statements. And I thought it was really funny that he declined. He basically said to this, his future father-in-law, he said, I'm not going to do that. It violates my boundaries. And if that means I can't date your daughter, well, then so be it. And if that means you never love me or approve of me, well, then so be it. But that's my boundary. And I know I talk a lot about talking about money in here, but I mean, obviously this person was going to use that information to judge and evaluate him. This wasn't, you know, a case of my friend sharing openly in a group of people who are going to provide accountability or support or compassion or tips. No, this person this future father-in-law wanted him to share this information because he wanted to make sure that this guy was good enough for his daughter. And that's a little old school. But that's just a story I thought of that I thought I would tell. So also, new research from the Columbia Business School says that more than half of all people keep their finances separate from people who are close to them. So half of y'all are keeping secrets about money from the people closest to you. And that means we are more likely as Americans to talk about sex than we are to talk about money. And I think that's kind of a shame. So how prepared are we for our financial futures? And I think that you know what this data is going to be. And I'm sorry to say it, but nearly half of families have no retirement accounts at all, according to the Economic Policy Institute. That same study also reported that the median savings for families whose wage earners are between 50 and 55 years old is just $8,000. And if you're between 56 and 61 years of age, that number is just $17,000. So we are woefully underprepared for retirement. People are not getting on the it's time to now take care of yourself financially train. And this seems to be a pattern for Americans. I know we've got some international listeners of Profit Boss, Canadians, Europeans, and I don't mean to exclude you. I just know more about American data than I do about Canadian or European trends in personal finance. And Americans just aren't getting it together. So I think that's why we're all listening to Profit Boss Radio. That's why we're here together. That's why we're forming a coalition. We're forming a mastermind, a wealth mastermind to move each other forward and so that we can defy the odds. So what about how we women are doing building wealth versus the boys? Well, if you're married and under the age of 35, median household net worth is $24,000. If you're a single male at that age, it's $7,000. And if you're a single female under 35, your net worth is likely $1,100. So net worth is the value of probably real estate owned, probably not cars and clothes and jewelry and things like that. I don't know exactly which numbers they included in this statistic, but you know, I know that when most people sit down and write down their net worth, they include those things that they've purchased, their physical belongings, a car, a boat, a trailer, jewelry, clothing, things that they'll never sell, that they'll never liquidate, that they'll never get cash value out of. So I don't think those things should be included in the net worth calculation. So obviously, given what I just said, which is that if you're married, your household net worth is likely $24,000 versus a single male whose household net worth is likely $7,000 and a single female whose household net worth is likely $1,100, it seems there's a huge financial reason to find a life partner. And I think some of those reasons are efficiencies in living expenses. You know, there's a sunk cost to living on your own if you're trying to make it on your own. And I think this data bears that out. Let's go ahead and look at people just a little bit older than that. If you're between age 35 and 54, and yes, I know that that's a big range. Median net worth, if you're married, is $142,000. If you're a single male, you're likely to have just over $30,000. But if you're a single female, only $13,144. So those numbers drop pretty precipitously. I think you get the trend here. I'm seeing improvements, but we're not winning yet, ladies. Having said all of that, let's just accept that that's where we are. That's how far we've gotten. Let's set any of those thoughts and feelings aside, whether they're good, bad, ugly, positive, negative, doesn't matter. Let's just set it aside and look to the future. And so what's happening now? Well, this week, 41% of Americans will make New Year's resolutions. 42% say that they absolutely never make them. So we're diametrically opposed. And to the 42% of you, I want to know, are you just really resigned about New Year's resolutions, or is your life perfect? No, I think it's because you don't believe in New Year's resolutions. And that's because they are notorious for not being kept. But did you know that writing your goals down makes you so much more likely to achieve them? And not only that, but getting accountability makes you more likely to achieve your goals. In fact, I'm reading right now this research study published by Dominican University, and they found that participants in this study who wrote down their goals and sent weekly updates to a friend, That's the linchpin, right? Had a much higher success rate than those who kept their goals to themselves. Yeah. You know, because if you knew how to use willpower and achieve your goals, you would already have achieved them, right? So there's just certain things that we need more than willpower to accomplish. And accountability is a powerful structure and opportunity for that. I mean, making better financial decisions is right up there with losing weight or being healthier, life and self-improvements. It's in a list of the top three New Year's resolutions. So I know you're probably thinking about this now. What are some of the things that you could do differently in 2018? Well, you might want to max out your tax-deferred savings next year. After all, that's free money. You know, if you have a company-sponsored 401k, you can deduct up to $18,500, unless you're over the age of 50, in which case you can deduct $24,500. That's a lot of money that you're taking away from Uncle Sam and putting back in your own pocket. It's literally free money. So I suggest you take on a goal of maximizing your tax-deferred savings next year. You might want to pay off debt. You might want to be spending less time with a few friends who are dragging you down or being negative Nellies about your financial goals. You might want to save for a house, or maybe you're even almost at your financial freedom number and you just want to change your mindset. Good for you, Profit Boss. So what steps can you take today to reboot your finances? What are the actions that are going to be associated with your financial New Year's resolutions? Okay, first of all, cut your overhead expenses ruthlessly. Like, really look. What are you spending money on? What are the subscriptions you can cut? Is that gym membership going totally unused? Can you go to a less expensive gym? Really focus on paying off debt and getting that monkey off your back. Maybe go on a cash diet, right? Like, put those credit cards on ice. Literally, put them in a Dixie cup, fill it with water, and put it in the freezer. If you can't trust yourself with a credit card, then go on a cash diet. So the only thing you're spending comes straight out of your wallet. And every time you buy something, you feel that money leave your life. I promise your spending will transform. Maybe you want to take on asking for a raise, or if you're running a business, raising your prices. The key to changing your financial life is really understanding the root issue, which is generally a mindset issue that turns into either a spending issue where you spend too much, or like a feeling of overwhelm that keeps people kind of frozen, paralyzed. I've got all this money, Hillary, but I don't know what to do with it. And I know it's hard. Believe me, I do. So what are some of the tools to get you started? You really need to take stock of where you are. And I talked about this in episode 77, the 7 steps to wealth. So we're lost if you don't know your expenses, your overhead. I call that yesterday's promises. You've got to know your income. You'd be surprised the number of people that really don't know how much money they make. Again, cut expenses ruthlessly and really right size your lifestyle. I mean, what are the reasons that financial resolutions often fail? It's because they don't involve accountability. So you admonishing yourself in your head right now as you're listening to this is one thing, but go write it down and get a buddy or form a mastermind. And really, this key factor, this known fact about what it takes to produce real transformation and real change for people, is why I created Profit Boss Live. And this is why I'm hosting it in January, so we can get the year started off with a bang. We can get your goals written down. We can figure out what's been happening in your financial ecosystem, those habits and patterns and feelings that you want to complete and leave behind, and really create, just write your own money story beginning now, right? Beginning on January 19th in San Jose at Profit Boss Live. I have here this document that I've created called Your Custom Wealth Plan, and I literally am going to walk people through the steps of, first of all, what is that money story that's holding you back? Where does it come from, and how have you been behaving about it? And give people the opportunity to say, yes, Hillary, I am ready to set all this aside, put it behind me, and create something new. And then we're going to declare, we're going to decide. That's the first Step to Wealth in episode 77, we're going to decide, and people are going to write their new money narratives, their new story about money on these beautiful white glass boards around the room, right? So we're all going to be surrounded by these empowered financial declarations. And then we're going to get down to brass tacks. We're going to talk about how figuring out how much money is coming into your life, how much money is going out. We're all going to use an online, it's really beautiful online financial calculator to figure out what it's going to take to get you to financial freedom. You're going to have an opportunity to make a list of some things you're not going to buy anymore, right? Like, I'm going to trade these purchases, Hillary, for getting on my path to financial freedom. And you're going to leave with that custom, this beautiful custom wealth plan document all written out. And, you know, my team will be there to assist everyone to make sure that you understand the numbers and the calculator, and we'll make sure that your custom wealth plan is understandable to you. All this in this environment where, first of all, we're not having any audio recording, so I'm not hiring a videographer. Why? Because you need to feel safe that your story is going to stay in the room. I'm going to kick off the event by sharing the details of my own financial situation. I mean, I can't sit behind this microphone every week and tell you how much we need to talk about money if I'm not going to be real about what's happening for me. So I'm going to talk about my financial failure. I'll give you the numbers, the true numbers of my financial sickness when I was deep in debt and overspending, and then talk to you about how I got to where I am today and tell you exactly my net worth, my family's net worth. And that's all for the purpose of creating a container, creating a context of authenticity, of vulnerability. Nobody wants to go to the microphone and say, you know, I'm $25,000 in debt or, you know, more. That's not fun, but we have got to get real about where we are now. And it's a totally judgment-free zone. And look, if you listen to this podcast, you know I deliver on that promise. I've got nothing going on about whatever hole you've dug yourself in, or however you think you don't understand the money world, or why your 401k has been in cash for 15 years. I've got nothing going on about it. I'm here to be the conduit from A to B, right? And so this room of 55 women, total, 55 women, like, it's intimate, all right? We're going to create this conversation and this momentum to move you forward, to have you finally move through disempowerment and confusion and overwhelm and sadness, or whatever it is for you, that you can take new inspired action, because you have now this family, this wealth mastermind, these buddies, these gal pals. And it is only women, okay? Sorry, if you're a member of the male gender and you're listening, I do apologize. This event is only for women. So send your girlfriend, send your sister, send your mom, send your daughter. And I have had a couple men purchase tickets for their daughters. Pretty cool. I like that. So if you've considered registering for Profit Boss Live, please, I'm inviting you. At the point of this recording, I only have about 20 tickets left, okay? So I hope that you'll join us, and I hope that together we can make 2018 the year that finally turned everything around for you. Just imagine what 2018 is going to be like. Even one fact of having 10 to 15 or maybe 20 new connections, relationships with women who are taking this stuff on and who are willing to share with you. I mean, when is the last time you had an amazing and empowering conversation with your girlfriends about money? Doesn't happen. It absolutely does not happen, but it is happening at Profit Boss Live. To pick up your ticket, go to profitbosslive.com. That's profitbosslive.com. If you have any questions or concerns, you can email my team at info@hillaryhendershot.com. Remember, Hillary has one L and Hendershot has two T's. Or of course, you can also ask us in the Facebook group. If you want to become a member of the Facebook group, go to hillaryhendershot.com/profitboss. That will redirect you to the private Facebook group where you can request entrance there. To register for Profit Boss Live, which is in San Jose, California on January 19th, 2018, go to profitbosslive.com. I really, truly invite you, and I hope to see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Profit Boss Radio. If you liked it, share it with an artist or creative that you love. And whether you're a painter or a mathematician, may you have all the freedom and prosperity you want.